Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. Discover female health insurance through It's For Women.
Let's get to it, friends, because it is the rugby clash of the century. Ireland take on France tomorrow. It's at 2:15 on Lansdowne Road. What's at stake? Well, our fifth Grand Slam and the first three in a row title win ever. No one has done it since the late 80s when France did four in a row in the Five Nations, but two of those were shared. So no one's done three in a row on their own. You can feel the anticipation in your very chest. Ireland captain Caelan Doris, he's been past fit to start tomorrow, and Mac Hansen, though he's out through injury, we still don't have Tadhg Furlong, and Gary Ringrose is suspended, so it's on a knife edge. I'm going to talk to Fiona O'Brien, Ireland Rugby International. I think she's on the line. We're going to come to a French fan shortly, but I'm joined by Fiona O'Brien. First of all, welcome back, Fiona.
Well, thank you very much. Good morning.
There is very nervous excitement about this match.
There is. Listen, it's been touted as the title decider, and at the moment, Ireland are slim favourites. But as we learned when we spoke last year, Oliver, where I predicted Ireland would have absolutely no problem squashing England and Twickenham, the beauty of sport lies in its inherent unpredictability. And look, that's why we tune in. And I think ultimately this game is just so difficult to predict. And I'd argue, look, that the best attack are going to win.
Okay, we've won three so far. Not all of them convincing wins. How dangerous are the French, Fiona?
Wildly. Listen, I suppose when you consider the French team, you have the Dupont and Entmac pairing is reinstated. And with the return of Pinot on the wing, there's absolutely no doubt as to that threat that's possessed by that French backline. But really what's really interesting about this French side is, you know, you talk about the sheer size of their pack, and in order to launch your attack, you have to gain the ball and you have to retain it. And actually, if you consider France, after three games, they are the team with the highest line-out success rate and the best scrum success. And we'll whisper, Ireland is currently the worst. And really, that French pack dominate the collisions. And it's the thing that allows that French, you know, fluid game that we know, that jouet or that, you know, desire not to let the ball go to ruck is the thing that allows this French side to be just so dangerous.
You're making us feel despondent in some
ways.
No,
I'm nervous.
We are still friends, absolutely. The way they lost to England, that has to be in the back of their minds as well, doesn't it, the French?
I think so. Look, the question always with the French is which French side shows up. You know, if you consider that swing in their last two games, on their last day out, they beat Italy 73-24. But the previous game to that, they lost England by a point. You imagine you'll face a buoyant French side.
Okay, what are the upsides to us, apart from Lansdowne Road in full throat singing, I presume?
Look, from an Irish perspective, look, you've three test centurions in Peter O'Mahony, in Keane Healy and in Conor Murray, and they're going to play their final game at the Aviva on Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be emotional.
Ahead of their retirement, absolutely. And look, as you say, inevitably it brings an emotional edge, and it's a really, really important day for them and for their families and for their clubs. And look, I think Andy Farrell and now Easterby seem to be able to, you know, harness those moments, you know, carefully. Though you'd have to say, I don't think the French are going to care. From an Irish perspective, they won't be delighted with their two previous performances or the three previous performances, and they'll know that they'll need, you know, a collectively brilliant performance in order to beat this French side. Yeah. And look, that's the bit that's reassuring about Ireland is that in the last few years, we haven't relied on two or three players constantly needing to perform because we have such quality. And that's the difference. We're eking out performances or eking out wins, even when our performance maybe isn't brilliant.
So we shouldn't despairingly look at the lack of
Tadhg
Furlong or, you know, Mac Hansen. No Gary Ringrose either through suspension.
I know. Look, I think from the centre point of view and the loss of Gary, you know, you've Aki and Henshaw are a perfect pairing. That's not a huge concern. It's unfortunate not to have Mac Hansen, and Jamie Osborne gets the nod there. I think Calvin Nash maybe is carrying an injury. And look, that's a big game for him, and defensively he's going to be under pressure against Beebury. You'd miss Tadhg Furlong in the scrum, and I think, look, there's a lot of discussion about the 7-1 split. So France have chosen
to have seven
forwards on their bench and one back, and the whole argument for that is that they then bring on a totally fresh pack after 50 minutes, and that allows them to dominate those collisions, and you feel you'll miss Tadhg Furlong from that scrummaging point of view and from that experience point of view.
We're 6-2 on the bench, and it's 7-1, isn't it? Come here, what's this we're hearing about Thierry Henry sticking his hand once again?
Apparently Thierry Henry was in the French camp this week, hopefully not inspiring any form of tomfoolery, but apparently he was in to talk to the French players.
sticking his lava once again into Irish dreams. This seems like a good point with French bitterness in our hearts towards the French. Let's bring in Le Bleu, Monsieur Benoit Lorge. He's a French chocolatier based in Kenmare in County Kerry. Comment allez-vous, Benoit?
I'm doing very well. Good. Hello to everybody.
Hello. Now,
I knew before the show that this story with Thierry Henry would come back on the table.
We won't
That's
ask you to explain
sentence,
it.
I say.
Come here. Let's find out a little bit about you, Benoit, because you've literally spent exactly half your life, I believe, in France and half of it in Ireland.
That's right. 26 years in Ireland. I'm 52. Do the math.
And
as long as I've been in Ireland that I've been living in France.
How did you come to be here?
I came originally as a pastry chef, working in one of the five-star hotels in Kenmare. Oh. Thinking that I will stay here for a year, and I just never left. Absolutely love the life here. Life is beautiful in Kenmare.
And you found love here?
And I found love.
Not with an
Irish woman, a Spanish lady.
A Spanish lady, okay. Yes, this is the center of the universe. I believe you're an excellent pastry chef. Was it a local charity that asked you, a local charity for a playground, asked you to do something which kind of changed your life?
That's correct. You do your research, yes. I started originally when I was in Sinn Féin and using the kitchen in the winter for raising money for a charity for the playground. And we had a good response. And 2 years later, I decided to leave my job as a pastry chef and I set up a chocolate factory just outside Kenmare. And we've been in business now 20 years.
It's a dream, Lorge. And Fiona, you know Lorge chocolates.
Absolutely. I'm partial to them. They're absolutely beautiful. And I suppose my concern is if the French bring some of that flair that Benoit brings to his chocolates, we might be in trouble.
Thanks, Fiona.
Is business booming, by the way, Benoit, in the chocolate business?
Yeah. As I said, we've been 20 years in business, but now we are facing a big challenge with the cost of cocoa.
Oh, yeah.
The price of cocoa just been at the peak of history, so it is a bit of a challenge at the moment, but we carry on. We don't compromise on quality, and the order for Easter at the moment are pretty good.
Yes. Now to rugby, Benoit, how big a fan are you of French rugby?
I am big now. But I discovered rugby when I came in Ireland. In France, if you see, rugby is very popular in the southwest, and I'm from the northeast, so when I came to Ireland, I didn't know nothing about rugby, but along the years and about the fabulous decade that Ireland have been in the rugby, I really became a big fan of it.
You had to go to Munster to discover rugby. Frenchman, that's perfect. Finally, we got one up on you. It is growing in France, though, isn't it, Benoit? Does everybody follow it now in France, or is it still more restricted than soccer?
No, I mean, soccer will be probably the sport number one, but as I said before, it will be really in the southwest, but now, after the emergence at a club like the Stade Français in Paris, or the fabulous work that Ronan O'Gara is doing with La Rochelle, it seems like it's moving a bit from different parts. So, and the last few years, especially this year, the French are playing a good rugby on my side. So, the enthusiasm is there.
But you do, I presume you support Ireland maybe when France is not involved.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I was in Cardiff 2 years ago, wearing a green jersey and cheering up for Ireland.
Oh, fantastic. You can't be a blow-in when you're in a green jersey. Come here, I want to go back to... Have the chocolate tastes of Irish people changed, Benoit, since you're serving us so well? Have we become more sophisticated?
Yes, much more, yes. when I start, the sales of milk chocolate compared to dark will be 80 to 20. Now, 20 years later, I say to the Irish, I'm selling as much dark chocolate as I'm selling milk chocolate.
Really?
And as we know, dark chocolate is the real chocolate and the one good for you.
Because we would have been milk chocolate obsessed. And
No. And even on the test of the flavor of the different fillings, they're much more adventurous. Like last week, we came out with a Szechuan pepper and a lemon and basil and things that it will be difficult to sell a few years ago. And I say people are curious to see some different flavor.
That's extraordinary. I think we now have become the third biggest consumers of chocolate in the world per capita. Yes.
17 ton per person.
All down to you.
Yeah, I wish.
I better come back to the rugby. Fiona, it is a huge day. You mentioned the emotional stakes of the final home match of O'Mahony, Healy and Murray. Also 50th caps for three men as well, including the skipper.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, they're momentous occasions for those players. You know, Rugby Players Ireland have a tag that they're more than players, and that's what that is. Those days are a big personal achievement, but they from both perspectives, the French won't care, and the Irish are too professional to allow that to change. But it does bring an emotional edge, and I do think that's important. I think ultimately, whatever team starts better will potentially win. I think it's really going to be a massive decision. If France get ahead and they manage to launch their full bench, we might be in trouble. But if Ireland can keep themselves and start well, I think it could be just an absolutely smashing contest, and I think it's really going to be a score in the difference of the game.
A score in the difference? Oh my God.
Yeah.
By the way, the 50th caps, Caelan Doris, Beelam and Jack Conan are going to get the 50th caps. It's a Leinster heavy setup again, and I know you'd be biased, Fiona O'Brien, but are you sensing any lingering Munster bitterness that was there at the start?
I tell you, I'm not biased, actually. You'd be surprised. I'm actually a Munster woman who played for Leinster, so I actually am very balanced, I'd like to think.
Excellent.
Look, I think, you know, I know the discussion always comes down at the moment to Sam Prendergast, and that's an ongoing discussion. Look, I think he had to be started, considering they backed him for the last few games. You know, he had a man of the match performance against Scotland. I know he won't be as pleased with his performance against Wales, and there was a query over, I think he'd, you know, his tackle success was poor. And look, it's brilliant to have the talent of Crowley to come on if required.
We can technically lose tomorrow and still win the Six Nations, can't we? But obviously
absolutely. So the Grand Slam will be off the cards, but also there's a massive points differential. So at the moment, France have 63 points ahead. So they have a massive after their big win against Italy.
Oh, yeah.
So really, we don't want to leave ourselves in that position. Basically, we need to win.
Do you think we're going to win?
My heart says yes, but I'd say my head might say France.
Ah, oh, don't say that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Don't like your head today. Benoit, how do you feel tomorrow?
Well, Ireland has got the home advantage.
Mm-hmm.
This game is definitely the tournament decider of the championship.
True.
Kylian Doris is back from injuries, which is good, but we've got also Ntamack and Damien Penaud back as well, which is a good thing. Now, as Fiona said earlier, depending on the French are coming up to the game, they are unpredictable. But even if I think that's a 50-50, I just think France is going to win.
Oh, man, that's practically two for France. Okay, well, I hope you're wrong. And Benoit, thank you very much.
Too.
Merci. Bonne chance as well. You'll be busy in the run-up to the La Fête de Pâques, the Easter. So enjoy that. And I hope it thrives. And thank you, Fiona. And I hope you're wrong again this year.
Best of luck to the both of the team.
Bonne chance. It's live on RT2 television tomorrow, RT Radio 1, and on the RT Player kickoff at 2:15. You know it already. Hold your breath.